Hey guys and ghouls.
You're tuned in to broadcast from the Belfry. That looks disgusting. The world's okayest podcast
This
for the
is
morbidly curious,
so
plus
gross.
some of Sanjay's disgusting gnaws.
Yeah, this is so gross. My name's Sanjay, sitting next to me, revolted by my energy drink that I was mixing with wine, but I'm now just drinking straight,
So disgusting.
is Georgia. Georgia, how are you besides obviously disgusted?
Disgusted.
Yeah. What are we talking about today? What region of this beautiful
Tonight's, let me do my pun. Tonight's episode is really gonna unravel some mysteries for you. Because we're talking about mummies.
My eyeballs literally almost just popped out of my head because of how upset I was.
Good. You are an ancient Egyptian, and your beloved family member just died. And I can't see my notes because your tail's in the way. Your accent is like Imhotep in The Mummy with Brendan Fraser.
What a classy man. He
I
went
mean, he walks around with no shirt on all the time and basically
Yes.
just wearing a diaper, so.
Dude, I love Wait, are you talking about Imhotep or Brendan Fraser?
Imhotep.
Okay, I was talking about Brendan Fraser.
Oh, yeah.
I love that he goes from like 90s heartthrob to 2000s heartthrob to chunky, pasty cowboy
With
to
weird hair.
yeah, with weird hair back to like okay heartthrob.
Yeah, I think they're trying to make him have a comeback.
Yeah.
Hey!
Oh shit, I almost just shattered my glasses. I put my hand on them and then put all my weight on it.
Yeah, my cat's gonna put all her weight on the microphone in a minute.
So, look for chunky buns.
Hey, can you get down? Thank you. So, your family member just died, and you're like, alright, well, I have to go to the funeral home and make arrangements for my mummy. Much like you would walk into a funeral home now and there'd be, plywood options for like tighter budget
Yeah,
and
exactly.
some generic pine options for a middle road budget and then some sweet mahogany
Oh yeah, rich
coffins
mahogany.
for your higher end with the nice hardware on it. That was a lot like how choosing your mummification process was.
Nice. It was like, hey, here's cardboard, and we're gonna fill you with like, I don't know, just a bunch of like Mountain Dew Code Red, and hopefully your organs stop.
Coca-Cola.
Yeah, or it's like, hey, you can get some like actual, what is it, formaldehyde? We'll pump that into you and put you in like some plywood. Or it's like, we're gonna put a bunch of Goldschläger like in your body and like bury you in like a Gucci coffin, which is a great song that I've listened to a lot. If anyone likes really shitty SoundCloud rap, listen to Gucci Coffin by I Am Jake Hill.
I'd
So good.
prefer Alexander McQueen if we're talking designer coffins. Okay, cool. You walk into your local, I would assume it's a temple because priests typically did embalming stuff.
Makes
Anyway,
sense.
so say you are rich and you're like, yeah, let's do the high-end one. They would remove the brain of your beloved family member
Good start.
through the nostrils.
Okay.
So they like stick a thing up there and smush it around to liquefy them and then they.
Scramble the brain, yes,
Yep.
quite.
Scrambled brains and bacon for breakfast, you know?
I would probably eat that. Not like human brain, because like I'm not trying to, you know.
Get some prions.
Yeah, thank you. I was like, get that thing that you've talked about that I never remember the name of.
And then your stomach contents are emptied, and then the cavity is cleaned with palm wine and spices.
That sounds very nice.
And then your stomach is filled with myrrh,
Ooh.
cassia,
Ooh.
which is like kind of cinnamon-ish.
Is it myrrh a metal?
No, myrrh is
I think my only.
it's a fragrant thing.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is like the three. One of the three wise men brings
Brings
it.
myrrh.
But
Gold,
like.
frankincense, and myrrh.
Yeah, but I always remember because of that TikTok slash Vine where
Oh my
it's like,
god.
and I brought myrrh. Murder. Judas.
That's like the third time you've brought this up on this
It's very
podcast.
funny, and I think that everyone should watch it if they haven't already. Judas.
Myrrh, cassia, and other spices. And then the stomach is sewn back up. But it's not put back in the body because it goes in a canopic jar with
Gross.
the other organs, some of the other organs, which we'll get to in a second. The heart is left in the body as it is important for the Hall of Judgment. The heart is the seat of the soul,
Okay.
and to proceed in the afterlife, your heart has to be weighed, and it has to be deemed lighter than a feather. which is biologically impossible. However,
yeah, unless you like skinned your heart and then just like blew it up like a balloon, maybe. Like, do you know that scene in Shrek where they blow up all the frogs like balloons?
Yeah.
It's like that, but like with hearts.
And then, so the heart's weighed by Anubis. And in order to have a light heart, you must do good deeds in life. And that lightens the weight of your heart.
Makes sense, yeah. You can't be weighed down by all the nasty all the stuff sins. You did. Yeah.
Otherwise, the heart is eaten by Ahmet. Who is a crocodile hippo lion, I think, goddess.
Nice.
It's like a combination of three of the most deadliest predators in Egypt. Maybe it's not a lion, I can't remember. It's definitely a crocodile and a hippo. I just can't remember what the other one is. Anyway.
Gun.
And then you're not allowed to continue in the afterlife. You have a second death.
So you're like, you're like hanging out one day at TGI Fridays, and you're like, oh shit, this nugget got stuck in my throat, dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go, your body gets, like, dragged back to your temple, and they're like, hey, can you remove, like, all these organs?
Mm-hmm.
And then your pastor is like, yeah, for sure, my dude, like, I'll fuck it up. And he just, like, scoops out all your stuff, prepares your body, and then, like, kisses you on the forehead, and is like, night-night, and pushes, like Doctor Strange astral project, like, pushes your spirit out of your body.
Yo.
Which it's still there for some reason. And you go see Anubis. Mm-hmm. And Anubis is like, alright, let's see what this heart weighs. And he has, like, a scale. Mm-hmm. What's that called? Like, the Libra scale, kind of. And, like, feather on one side, puts your heart on. If you're good to go, then he's like, alright. And opens a nice door behind him, and you go. Mm-hmm. If not, then this, like, half hippo, half crocodile, half gun lady, like, unhinges her jaw and, like, eats mm-hmm. you, and you're just, like, that's where your consciousness ends.
Mm-hmm. Something like that, yeah.
That's awesome.
So, the stomach, after it's been all sewed back up,
mm-hmm.
as well as the liver, lungs, and intestines, are put in the canopic jars. There's always four of them, just like in The Mummy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all associated with the four sons of Horus to protect the organs, and then the gods in return are protected by a companion goddess. So let's just be clear.
Mm-hmm.
The women are doing the actual protecting.
I mean, that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
That's just life, man.
And then each of the gods are associated with a cardinal direction and an animal and all this other stuff. So the stomach goes with the jackal-headed god. These guys all have weird names, and I'm not even going to try, sorry. And that is associated with cardinal direction of the east, and associated with the goddess, Neith. And then to the west is the falcon-headed god. I think his name is Kebexneth.
Nice. That's a cool name.
And that's where your intestines go, and he's protected by Serket. And then the baboon-headed god is associated with the north and the lungs and protected by Nephthys. And then Amset is to the south with the human head, and they're in charge of the liver and protected by Isis. Who is cool?
Not in America.
Not in America. And after that happens, the body is covered in natron for 70 days, which is a naturally occurring mineral salt, and it absorbs all of the liquid from its surroundings.
I assume that, you said napsom?
Natron.
Natron? I assume that was a person, and, like, their, like, spirit, like, envelops you, and I was like, ah,
the nice, body is cool. Covered in spirit.
Yeah. Like, that's sick.
And then after 70 days, the body is washed and rolled in resin-soaked linens after the insides have been stuffed with cloth.
Sweet.
And then amulets are placed within the bandages, symbolizing power, protection, and rebirth. So that's for rich people.
Yeah. If you're poor, you just get shot in the afterlife 24/7. Just guns. But if you're rich, then you can use your sapphires to, like, deflect it. Wonder Woman style.
Hi. You're cute. All right, middle of the road, you get your stomach filled with oil of cedarwood, which dissolves all of the internal organs. And then you get covered in natron, but I think probably less than 70 days. I assume part of the expense for the rich people is how long that you undergo the natron part.
He was like, if you're a poor rich person, like, you only make, like, I don't know, 80,000 rupees a year or whatever, then you can only afford 30 days, but, like...
Are we in Zelda now?
Yeah.
Okay. So... Then the oil is drained and the body is returned to the family. So, I guess if you have your own linen, you could wrap it yourself or whatever. Who knows?
DIY. You're like, you have to... Wow, Luna, big jump.
Yeah, that was good.
If you're, like, really, really poor and you're like, I've got these linens, let me undie real right. fast. Let me not be dead so I can, like, put this shit in my stomach.
And, on the low end of things, your stomach is purged, which... I just imagine them flushing a bunch of water through your mouth and out your butt. Like, honestly.
Yeah. You ever have, like, really hot stuff with nothing in your stomach?
Speaking no, because I don't like hot stuff, but...
I forgot. I was like, I've got some hot sauce for stew. Alright.
Okay. I'm scared.
It's like, not bad. It's, like, pretty good. It's, okay. like, handmade, too.
Cool. So yeah, your stomach is purged, and then the body is covered in natron, probably for not very long. And then they're like, alright, here you go. Done. So, that's great.
Just slap the back. Just like, yep. Alright.
Put it on, like, a luge back to the family.
Have you seen the, like, salmon tubes?
No.
What? Okay, I don't think I can find it, like, right now.
What is a salmon tube?
So, like, do you know how salmon, like, try to go upstream, you know, to, like...
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, I know what
so,
you're talking about.
Yeah, like, so because of, like, how people are...
I lived in Washington, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, humans destroy everything we touch.
Yeah.
So now there's, like, tubes to, like, relocate salmon, mm-hmm. and they can make a journey that would take them a month in, like, a day.
Yeah.
So you just, like, there's people whose jobs are just to pick up a salmon, put them in this tube, and it Futurama style just, like, zooms them around, and that's what you do with the bodies.
Yep. That's how you get them back to their families. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to pick them up.
But, like, there's not a breaking mechanism. No. So you just get shot into your family's fucking couch.
Breaks the window. Exactly. Just, oh, God damn it. I know I've talked about this before. The term mummy is derived from the medieval Arabic term mumia, referring to the substance used for preservation, which was, like, they thought it was kind of like bitumen, mm-hmm. which maybe they're referring to the resin that the linens were soaked in, or how the preserved body at least appeared. And then the term was used to refer to the tincture that we've talked about that was made from your crushed up mummy.
Mm-hmm.
Some mummy for your tummy.
I hate.
Makes you feel better.
I hate that shit. A friend of mine, Zoe Palando. Actually, she's married now. I do not remember what her new last name is. My friend Zoe is a great artist mm-hmm. that does comics. So if you want to search some quality content, look up Bagels and Coffee. And I showed Georgia because she specifically had one about true. Like... just, like, how old dudes would just be like, I want a mummy today. I'm gonna unwrap it for fun, and how gross that is. And it's just, oh, it's gross. If you joined kind of late, feel free to go back to listen to our first episode about King Tut. Episode 1,
yep.
Yeah, episode 1, the
Although
OG.
I don't think I talked about that until a few episodes later, but...
I thought it was episode 1.
It might have been. I don't remember.
I don't know. That was years ago, my dude. We're older now.
That was like You're older 3 now. Months ago, but okay.
I'm the same age. I never age.
I am older now.
Mm-hmm.
So then the term was eventually used to refer to the body itself, and now we use it to refer to all preserved corpses, like bog bodies. Episode 3 are also technically mummies. Everest bodies would also be technically mummies.
In Futurama, when we find Seymour's body.
Oh my mummy. God. Yeah. Aww.
Saddest episode of Futurama. Hands down. Fuck.
The smoked corpses of Asihi, which we'll get to, and I'm super excited about it.
I don't like it. It sounds delicious.
That's why I said that we were going to talk more about smoking some pigs.
Oh, that makes sense.
We're going to come back to that.
The pigs are Nazis.
Inca mummies. That we're going to talk about right now.
Ooh.
So we're skipping forward to the, I think this was practiced between the 13th and 16th centuries until the Spanish came over and were like, fuck you guys, we're taking all of this. You guys suck.
There's something in my eye.
Okay. I thought you were just really upset about how the Spanish conquered the Incan Empire.
No, I'm not winking. I wink better than this.
Give me some of that Atahualpa.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The last emperor.
Anyway. Do you want really rustles my ruffles? Just fucking old.
Some macho Incan men.
Macho Incan men. I'd buy that magazine. Meow. Like, look it up.
So, mummification was not the only funerary practice that was used, but in the context of the Inca, mummies were believed to illustrate a connection with the ancestors, so like ancestor worship, and then a respect or reverence to older generations, as well as the importance of kinship within their communities. So mummies were considered a link between the living and their gods, and they would often be like taken down from their shrines and brought into the community to be consulted on important events or whatever.
So they would just be like, all right, Craig, what do you think? Craig, a mummy, lays there quietly.
Yep.
This guy that is interpreting, he says we should definitely get a new well. And everyone's like, oh, Craig, you're so great.
You're the best. Woo.
And then Craig's like, because he's dead.
Yep.
Just doesn't say anything.
Yep. So, yeah, so that the ancestral knowledge might serve the community. Actually, what happens is you get Mushu.
Yeah, okay, that actually makes a lot of
that's
sense.
That's what happens.
Yeah. Mushu holding the stone head.
And he's like, yeah, do it!
Great stone dragon.
They were mummified naturally via being put up in the cold mountains.
Do you remember how we were talking about, like, how that one girl was a vampire because it was just cold?
No.
That shit was crazy. Yeah, remember? You were like, we were talking about, like, vampires, and you were like, yeah, everyone's like, oh, this girl's a vampire because she looks the same.
Oh, Mercy Brown, yeah.
It was just fucking cold.
Yep.
It's wild. I don't get why people don't understand how weather works.
So.
Fuck.
They would put them in, like, a feet. Luna, seriously?
Luna's butthole is on the nuts right now.
Alright, you moved it. That's fine. I can read now. So they would wrap them in these bundles in the fetal position with their little head sticking out.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would put them up in their mountain shrines. And so they would freeze there. But some archaeologists believe that these were also, like, yeah, they were ancestor connections, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But some archaeologists believe that they were also... Those are my glasses. But some archaeologists believe that they were also indicators to non-Inca people that this was Inca territory. So don't come here because we own this place and we'll kill you or, you know, whatever.
We'll literally eat your heart.
Yep.
I think Incans did that. If not, I'm sorry for it. Sorry to anyone of that.
No, they didn't do that. You're thinking of the Aztecs.
Yeah, that's it.
I think we should just do a whole episode about Aztecs one day. I'm really excited about that.
We're gonna talk about Aztecs in Indiana Jones, and I'm just gonna, like, be jamming to Kali Ma by Neck Deep in my head the whole time.
I'm just gonna be real angry about crystal skulls and pyramid temples. It's fine.
Dude, Island of the Crystal Skull was a kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I apologize.
Jesus Christ, it was a terrible movie, but that doesn't mean you get to get it wrong.
Yeah, I went on a date to see that movie. Awful movie, probably an okay date.
I was gonna say, awful date, cool.
It was like 2011. I have almost no memories from 2011.
They've drank a lot since then.
It was like, yeah, that's true, but that's not why.
You just blacked it out.
Yeah, just blacked out. When drama. I was a senior in high school, I was sober 0 days a week, let me tell you. No, that's not true. I was real boring back then.
Ooh,
so drinking doesn't make you cool, but it can definitely help sometimes.
True. So, also in South America are the Chinchorro mummies.
Ooh.
And those are around the Atacama region. So, mummification was practiced on everyone, which makes those mummies really archaeologically significant.
Mm-hmm.
They predate Egyptian mummies by about 2,500 years. You're making this really difficult.
Yeah, Luna's butthole is still on Georgia's notes, but now she's, like, swishing her tail to actively cover up whatever Georgia's trying to read. Luna's emotional intelligence, obscene.
She's been so needy today.
She's so perceptive of, like, what would make Georgia upset.
All she really... isn't doing it. She just wants attention, I swear to God. She does. She's just like her mom. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mom!
So they are the oldest example of artificial mummification. Mm-hmm. I think the oldest mummy goes back to 7,020 BC. So that's like 9,000 years ago.
It's like almost as old as my dad. Close. Not quite, but close.
And the, all the soft tissue was removed, and then the body was reformed around the skeleton with plants and clay and bits of wood.
So they literally peeled you like a fucking carrot. Dip your body in whatever you gotta do to get all the rest of that soft tissue off, fill you full of confetti and candy, and just sent you on your way?
No, then they sew your skin back on around you.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and then they make a clay mask for your face.
That's really cool, actually.
Yeah, it's pretty sick.
I want
sick.
A clay mask of my face.
Speaking of really old mummies, discovered in 1991 in the Italian Alps, Ötzi the Iceman is currently the oldest natural mummy, dating to about 5,300 years ago. He was mummified in glacial ice after he was murdered around the age of 45.
That's a good age to be murdered, honestly.
Yeah.
Actually, no, because you're, like, just starting to, like, have fun.
I think that his fun was way over, honestly.
I don't know, but you're, like, rich and tired, so you're just...
You've already had your midlife crisis.
Yeah, exactly. So you're like, I guess I can be alive, and then you just get killed. That sucks.
So...
Or, like, you get killed, and you're like, oh, good.
They found his cause of death in 2001, 10 years after he was found. All of his belongings were left with him, so he wasn't robbed. So they don't really know why he was murdered, whether it was jealousy or some hierarchy battle or something. Mm-hmm. But it kind of, they said that it seemed like he had been on the run for a couple of days because he had some defensive wounds on his hands that showed signs of starting to heal, but not for very long. And so he had a head wound, and then they found a flint arrowhead in his left shoulder, which would have severed his subclavian artery.
Fancy.
Yeah,
fancy
he would have bled out pretty quickly after that. Like, not super... Not as fast as other arteries, but still in a few minutes he would have been, like, done. So they just left him in the... They used isotope analysis to determine that it was probably early summer when he died.
Oh, how romantic.
Yeah. His discovery also resulted in the discovery of the earliest evidence of Lyme disease.
Oh, nice.
And it was also found that he had an intestinal parasite. His fingernails, weirdly... Okay, they were discovered separately.
His fingernails were?
Yeah, they just fell off when he was decomposing.
Oh, that kind of makes sense, I guess.
But because he was all frozen, they were still, like, right there. Mm-hmm. So they were still with him. They just weren't on him.
Mm-hmm.
So they showed Bose lines, which are those, like, horizontal grooves that you get in your nails. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? And those are usually pretty good indicators of physical distress. Which I would say untreated Lyme disease would count as physical distress.
Yes.
Especially when you throw in the fact that you also have an intestinal parasite that probably makes you malnourished, because typically with intestinal parasites, they absorb all the nutrients, so you're not getting any.
Mm-hmm.
So you're basically malnourished. Untreated Lyme disease causes neurological problems like palsy, and it affects your memory. It can affect your heart. And he also showed signs of significant joint wear, which I would also partially contribute to untreated Lyme disease, because that can cause chronic inflammation in your joints.
Mm-hmm.
And also signs of several broken bones over the course of his life, including his nose.
This guy's life sucked.
Yeah, Stu got really, really self-conscious the other day, because he said something about how he got his nose broken, and I was like, I already knew that. And he was like, I never told you about that before. And I was like, no, but I studied anthropology. I can tell even if it had a perfect job being reset, the fuck? I can still see that you had your nose broken. And he just was like, is it that crooked? And I was like, no, I just know I just know what a broken nose looks like. So now he's probably embarrassed that I said that. He also had his 12th pair of ribs missing, which is a rare genetic anomaly. This is Oatsy, not Stu.
Okay. I assumed it was Oatsy, but if it was Stu, I also would still be kind of confused. So I was just like, what?
He had his 12th pair of ribs missing, which is a rare genetic anomaly. And his DNA was most similar to that of modern day populations in Sardinia or Corsica, which their populations were isolated for long periods of time. Mm-hmm. So it's fairly rare genetic sequence. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of cool. I mean, they did find him in Italy, so maybe not in the islands. He was obviously in the frozen mountains,
yes,
which is way north.
He was on the beach, actually.
But that's but
it was
pretty
a real,
cool.
It was a real cold beach.
Yeah, like the one I grew up on. Speaking of Frogan.
Frozen.
Hi. Speaking of frozen bodies, like I said earlier, a lot of the bodies on Everest are similarly frozen mummies. There's around 200 bodies on Everest.
Hmm. You mean, are they like people that tried to climb it and then just like died and their friends were like, eh?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wild.
Because it takes so much energy to do anything for yourself that trying to take someone back down is ridiculously difficult. Even trying to give them a burial of some kind on the mountain is really intensive. And if you don't have enough oxygen or resources, or if the weather is getting bad, you cannot also stay. There's really big arguments about ethics when you're doing something like hiking Everest. Which is really fucked up. But yeah, approximately 4,000 people have summited Everest 7,000 times-ish. And I think that number includes Sherpas whose job is to do it over and over again, which is why the number of times is so much bigger than the number of people.
And
a lot of people, a big chunk of the people who have died on Everest are Sherpas who are leading other people, especially because they get killed in earthquakes, avalanches, stuff like that, that wipes out like 20 people at once.
I guess also if you've like done it once, then it's like,
yeah,
I can like probably do this again, you know? So that makes sense. And then you learn like your body adjusts to it a little bit more and stuff
and
like
that. And you're better prepared for it and you know what you're getting yourself into and
you can live further and further up and make it easier.
Yeah. I don't know. It might be worth doing a whole episode on. This stuff is intense and I don't really get that emotional ever. But, I don't really get that emotional when I research things about death because I'm usually really good at staying objective about it, especially because I've researched a lot of death and that's my thing. And the only time I'm not really objective about death is if it's my family. That's just because I do get emotional about it.
Yeah.
But this got me a little, I don't know, it was really intense to read about. Green Boots was the most famous body. And a lot of people used him as a marker to how close they were to the summit.
Wait, like, they would just be walking, be like, oh, there's the body, we're this far away.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah, there was, like, a little cave next to him. And so a lot of people would just stop and rest there and know that they're, like, however many kilometers away from the summit.
That's so morbid. Holy
and,
shit.
Well, part of the problem now, because it used to be you would just hike Everest and it would be kind of deserted, but now there's 200 dead bodies just littered across it, as well as trash and abandoned equipment and stuff like that. And so they used to just leave the bodies there, but they're starting to do like cleanup efforts, I guess you could say, because you are literally hiking and then you have to step over someone else who died doing what you're doing before you. And a lot of them, like Sherpas, say, that's my friend, I know that person. Or other hikers will be like, yeah, that's my friend, I hiked to this other mountain with him, or something like that. And so it gets really intense. And then there are articles about the different bodies on Everest, and some people found out that, I mean, they already knew that, you know, their loved one already died on Everest, mm-hmm. but then they saw a picture of their frozen body on some article that someone yeah. posted, and they were like, it's really emotionally traumatic, like mm-hmm. this kid, his mom hiked it when he was 11, and she died, and her body became known as Sleeping Beauty, and this couple, two hikers, found her when they were on the way back down, mm-hmm. and they tried to stay with her until they could find someone that could help, mm-hmm. but the weather was getting bad, and they were like, if we don't leave, like, we cannot take you with us, we don't yeah. have the energy, but also if we don't leave, we will also die, mm-hmm. so they went down to camp, and the guy was so traumatized by it mm-hmm. that he, and it's like $70,000 to hike Everest. Oh, shit. It's really expensive. And he paid for himself to go back, and he couldn't take her back down, mm-hmm. but he paid for himself, hiked back up, because it was right below the summit. They'd mm-hmm. summited and started to come back down, and that's where they found her.
Yeah.
And she was with her husband, and her husband had fallen off of one of the ledges into a crevasse, mm-hmm. and she, I think she had succumbed to exhaustion or oxygen depletion or something. Mm-hmm. She was almost dead when they found her anyway, so when they went back, mm-hmm. they just, like, tied a rope, and they lowered her down into the crevasse where her husband had fallen, mm-hmm. and that was, like, the best they could do to bury her, mm-hmm. but it traumatized him so much to have to leave her there to die. Mm-hmm. That he went back. He paid that much money to go back and do it again.
Holy shit.
And he wasn't related. He didn't know her or anything. Mm-hmm. And then the kid, I mean, obviously he's an adult now, and he mm-hmm. read this article about it. And he was like, at first I was mad that I wasn't consulted on this, but then I just realized he was there with her in her last moments of life, and mm-hmm. they had formed their own connection. And I'm glad that he took it upon himself to do that for her, and I'm glad that someone was with her, and he was like, I only hope that I can meet them someday, and it's super intense to read about.
Yeah.
And Green Boots, like, nobody really knows his identity for sure, but there's an assumption that it's this one guy, and his brother is like, oh my god, I hope my mom doesn't see this. He's, like, tried to get pictures taken off the internet and stuff, mm-hmm. and he's tried to get the body removed, and no one would help him. He contacted the guy who lowered that woman down, mm-hmm. and he was like, I don't have enough money to go back up there. Yeah. If I did, I totally would do it for you. Mm-hmm. And the guy didn't have enough money to give him. It. Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. But then in 2014, Green Boots and several other bodies in this one area, it's called Rainbow Ridge because of all the multicolored gear mm-hmm. That's scattered across it. So Green Boots and then several other bodies up there went missing. Mm-hmm. And they don't know if somebody went up there without saying, no one's families were notified. They don't know if they just built little, like, rock cairns around them, or if they lowered them into crevasses too. Because sometimes mm-hmm. some of them are just literally frozen to the ground. You yeah. cannot pick them up and move them. Mm-hmm. And I think in those cases, they built little rock mounds over them. Mm-hmm. So they get some kind of burial. Because people will just take pictures of them too, which is
like kind of shitty.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Yeah.
And the ones that they can lower down into crevasses, they will. And I think it's kind of become code now that if you do lose someone on the mountain, you take care of it right then, and you don't just mm-hmm. leave them. Like, yeah. you stop, you take your time, mm-hmm. and you either build a rock cairn around them, or you lower them into a crevasse, or, like, whatever. You let them get buried by the snow. Like, you do whatever. George Mallory was the first to attempt the summit, and on his third try, he disappeared. That was in 1924. And finally, after 75 years, in 1999, after an investigative expedition was launched to find him, they discovered his mummified remains. Mm.
mean, at least they found him.
His
wife is just like, he was gonna take out the trash when he got back. Or his partner, or, you know, maybe him. He was like, I'll take the trash out when I get back. And his dogs are just like, what the fuck, Jerry? Like, come on.
They said that he had said if he made it but didn't make it back, if he made it to the top, he would leave photographic evidence there, which they haven't found, so they don't know if he made it to the top or not. Mm-hmm. And they even talked to someone at Kodak, and they were like, yeah, if it's up there, we can probably still develop, like, we have the technology to still develop it. It might not be great, but...
but it'll be something.
We'll be able to develop it enough to figure out if he made it or not, mm-hmm. so that's kind of cool, I guess.
Do you know if there's a lot of snow up there?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Part of the problem is people get stuck in blizzards, and then they get disoriented, and then they lose their way to their camp, or they get separated from the people that they're with, or, like, you're together, like, you're tied together on a line, and one person will fall down a crevasse, and, you know, maybe they'll drag someone else with them, or you have to cut that person free, so blizzards are a problem. A lot of people get buried in avalanches. Yeah.
I could not imagine. I don't want to do that. There's a lot of things I don't want to do. Like, go to work is one of them.
Yeah.
But, like, way higher than that is ever attempt to climb Mount Everest. Like, there's some mountains, like, smaller ones that I'm like, that'd be cool, you know?
Even Mount Rainier. Mm-hmm. Mount Rainier takes about a week to hike all the way up and all the way back down, which is nothing in terms of hiking a mountain.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really cost nowhere near $70,000. And Mount Rainier is about 1,400 feet in elevation. You don't need any special, like, breathing equipment or anything to do it. There's a lot of cool things I want to do.
Yeah.
But hiking a mountain is not one of them. I like hiking, and I like being on trails at the bottom of the mountain. Mm-hmm. I hiked over the smaller mountains that don't have snow on them.
Yeah.
But, no, I don't want to walk across glaciers or...
A couple of my friends did, like, climb Rainier when they first moved to Seattle.
Yeah.
And it was, like, really cool, because they were just, like...
technically, Mount Rainier also has four different summits, too, so...
Yeah, they were like, oh, it's normal, it's normal. Hey, check out all this snow that's here right now.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's, like, November. And they're like, yeah, mountains. And I was like, that's awful.
It snows. We hiked this trail in September. Not even late September. It was, like, the weekend after my birthday or something. So, like, mid-September-ish. And it snowed on us on the way back down, like, kind of a lot. It was a really nice hike, though.
Hate it. There also, a friend, her name is Little Haley, because there's another Haley that lives in the house that's older. A Little Haley, when I, like, visited them the first time, was like, hey, do you want to go, like, to the mountain? And I was like, I don't know, like, what are you planning on doing? She's like, I'm just, like, climbing it. And I was like,
no.
Like, maybe, like, I'm free all day. Like, when are you going? She's like, 5 a.m. Like, when are you going to be back? And she's like, later. And I was like, no.
No.
Thank you. I genuinely appreciate the offer.
Yeah, Megan left at, like, 3 o'clock in the morning to hike to the base camp. Mm-hmm. And she got back at, like, 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
Yeah.
I don't like doing anything for 12 hours. Being awake, like, is too much for 12 hours. Today sucked. Like, no, I'm actually not even at the 12-hour mark.
Oh my god. I was gonna say, I told you to wake up at, like, 10:30.
Yeah. I think that's when I had, like, just woken up.
Yeah, so I can tell you had just woken
up. I'm right now, like, creeping up on the 12-hour mark.
You still had, like, crusty shit in your eyes. Yeah, like, I did. You were right there.
Yep.
And
cats on my face. That was a good time.
No, Mount Rainier is really cool, but I still wouldn't. One of my friends in England, he hiked Kilimanjaro, and I was still just like, why?
Is that, like...
it's pretty tall.
It's the highest mountain in Africa.
Yes.
I don't know
where. He also grew up in Nigeria, so...
makes sense, yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was Kilimanjaro. I can't imagine it being any other mountain, because I don't know that many mountains off the top of my head, but... Well, one of the articles I was reading was, why do people feel the need to... do something like climb Everest, and it's really just so that you can say you did it.
Yeah.
It's literally just a bragging right.
Yes.
There's nothing
Do you know, you could do so many other things with 70 grand, though. Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, it's cool, but also just, like, run a marathon and then, like, I don't know, like, buy a car and give it to a poor person or something. Like, I don't know. Like, there's so much you could do that also takes the same amount of physical intensity and the same amount of time and, like, all that. And then you just, like, aren't
broke. One of the people said, sure, if you're willing to put a bullet in the barrel of a gun and then put that in your mouth, then yeah, it's a good idea to climb Everest. Because 200 out of 4,000 people, that's 5%.
Yeah.
That's like kind of a lot.
Yeah.
In terms of mortality rates for doing something that not that many people have done.
Dude, there's, related to mortality rates, there's a classic case state that one of my friends took that has a, like, suicide rate attached to it.
Jesus.
Yeah. It's fucked up. Like, there's, like, an actual, like, mortality rate. Because the teacher that, like, taught it for the last, like, however many years was that bad. And it's, like, a necessary class. So, like, all of these people, like, my friend took it in the summer and he passed it. Because it was, like, when they were changing the teachers.
Yeah.
But the semester before that, the average was a 42%. No curve. So, like, literally every... Or, no, the highest grade or something was, like, a 42. Jesus. So, like, everyone failed. In the semester before that, the average was 18%.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So fucked up. It's crazy. I'm just like...
At that point, that is no reflection on the students whatsoever. Exactly. Jesus.
I was in, like, Calc 1 many moons ago, and everyone failed a test, and, like, the average was, like, an 18%.
Yeah.
And the teacher blamed us, and I was like...
No.
This is garbage. Harant Halkambayan, you're a terrible teacher, and I hate your guts.
Yeah. Well, are you ready to get weird on that note?
Yeah, sure.
The Smoked Corpses of Asiki, which is a region in one of our favorite places, Papua New Guinea.
This still, like... Sounds kind of tasty, and I know it's not.
Papua?
No, the
smoked corpses of Asiki. Like, if you saw that on a...
smoke Asiki, like, specifically.
You see that on a menu, you'd be like, yeah, try that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that sounds like a solid sauce. Like, I don't know.
So, the Anga tribe use smoke to mummify, as opposed to the other forms that we've talked about so far. And the practice was only used, I think, for a couple hundred years, but they've moved away from it for the most part. However, there's this guy. I don't really know how to say his name, but in my head I've been pronouncing it Gemtasu.
Cool name.
He knew it was a dying art, and he knew that he wanted his body to be mummified like his father's so that his spirit could protect his community and his family.
Mm-hmm.
He brought his father's mummy out from its little nest.
Mm-hmm.
And brought it into the village and made this announcement to the community and to his family members. And there was also a Nat Geo photographer there who would kind of... She'd stayed with them for a while and kind of worked her way in. This is, like, a really secretive thing. They don't, like, tell a bunch of people how it's done or, you know, you're not really privy to it a lot. Especially because it's not really practiced that much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was there and she kind of documented that. And he said... When I die, you have to come back and document the process.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, okay, sure, whatever. He taught his sons the process because no one in his village really knew how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So he taught his sons how to do it using a pig.
Mm-hmm.
And he built his own smokehouse and everything. And they built a little bamboo chair and he helped them build that. He kind of did as much as he could do while he was alive to get ready for it.
Yeah.
And then the day came and he died. And so they called the Nat Geo photographer and she came back. I'll see if I can find the link again and I'll put the link to the Nat Geo article with the slideshow in the show notes.
Because
it's really cool to, I mean, yeah, trigger alert, the pictures are of him dead being mummified.
Yeah.
But it's really interesting to read and to just really.
And he was probably like the last person that'll be done too.
Yeah, I would assume so. His sons didn't really want to do it, but he had said it so many times and it was kind of like the last thing he really wanted, so they were like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
So she goes back and they get started. Those carrying out the process are not allowed to leave the ritual smokehouse. Wait, before we get into this, what I was going to say earlier. if life works out that Sue and I are still together when he dies, I'm gonna smoke me a pig. Like, let's be real.
Boo.
I'm gonna mummify him on a fucking smoke pit, and then I'm gonna move into a witch's house with my friend Carly back in Illinois, and we're gonna convince all the neighborhood kids that we're witches, and I'll probably keep his mummified corpse in a rocking chair somewhere.
Yeah, no, it'll just be like Han Solo in carbonite, but like, just stupid.
Just carry him around.
Just, yeah, just like, in, like a leaning against a wall. Which also might be his dream.
It could be.
Like, yeah, because like, carbonite doesn't exist, maybe. I actually think it does. But, like, freezing someone in carbonite, not a real thing.
Yeah, no.
Just being smoked slash mummified and hanging out, like, against
the wall.
You know
how he feels about his smoker. Like, I feel like he'd be super
stuff.
Okay with it.
Yeah,
he smoked our turkey for Thanksgiving last year. Mm-hmm. I feel like he'd be fine with it.
100%.
So, yeah.
Our executive producer, if our executive producer dies while we're still doing this podcast, not, like, right now, but just, like, in the duration of, like, the podcast episodes, we will try to contact the same Nat Geo photographer and see if she wants
hey,
to
help
do
us.
This. Yeah.
Well, maybe if you hear how it's done, you won't want to do it anymore. But...
I'm not doing it at all.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to see it either.
Okay, fine.
It's scary.
I'll do it.
Yeah. Don't volunteer me for that.
Those carrying out the process are not allowed to leave the ritual smokehouse for the entire 3-month process.
What?
That's how long it takes. 3 months. And they cannot leave the body. They have to be with it at all times.
Heck?
They are also not allowed to wash. They are not allowed to drink water, only sugarcane juice from bamboo.
Mm-hmm.
They are only allowed to eat food that is cooked in the same fire that they're using to smoke the body.
All right. Gross.
And then they smear white clay on their faces as a sign of grief, and no part of the body can touch the ground, including fluids. Because it's bad luck. Which, what? So we talked about something else where the body couldn't touch the ground either. Oh, that makes sense because the Four Tribe was also in Papua New Guinea. And when they prepared the bodies for the ritual cannibalism, they couldn't,
yeah.
It couldn't touch the ground.
So did they, like, just make, like, a deck or something?
So, like I said, he made the bamboo chair thing. It's kind of like scaffolding, kind of. Like, it's raised up.
Mm-hmm.
And then... they, like, tie the hands kind of to poles in front, and then they tie your feet. And then I think there's probably a little platform for your butt to sit on. So you're in a sitting position, but you're also up on the scaffolding. So all the smoke can get around you.
Makes sense.
And then when the body is bloating, as it's basically cooking, they poke little holes in it so all the fluid drains out so you don't get all bloated and explodey. One of the articles I read said that they open up, like, your hands and your feet and your knees and all these other joints, and they put hollow bamboo poles in them to drain the fat.
That, like, makes sense.
But there's no evidence of that in the pictures. If you, like, look at the article, there's nothing piercing the body in any of the pictures. And then they also said that they would keep the drained fat, and that's what the... community would cook their food in
the people fat.
Gross. So I think what happened, this other article was taking a lot of information from this pre-World War One document written by like a Euro-American person. So I think that there was either some miscommunication, some misinterpretation, some exaggeration there.
And they were like, look at these savages. They
they
cook their roast beef in the fat of their fathers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that maybe some of that might have been happening. Because, like I said, there's no evidence of any of that in the pictures. Or maybe the process has changed over time. Or, you know, who knows. Oh, and then they also gently widen the anus with a stick so that all of the organs fall out.
Nice.
Yeah.
You ever try to prolapse your everything?
Ugh.
Your literal everything?
It's great.
Because of The Office. It's one of the few scenes I like really, really like. But when Stanley has anal fissures. Or no, Phyllis has anal fissures, I think. And there's like, who has anal fissures? And they're just like, like that phrase is just really funny to me now. Even though it's just like not a funny thing.
Gross. Yeah, so after they're done cooking, like 3 months later, let's just be clear, that's how long it takes to smoke you a whole person.
It's so crazy. I can't imagine not leaving pretty much like a one-bedroom apartment. It's like a studio apartment
with that's filled the with smell smoke. Of cooking person in it, which is gonna smell terrible.
Where do you go when you do?
And not being able to bathe. Where do you go to the bathroom? That's what I'm really concerned about.
There's probably, not to shitty about it, but like there's probably literally a hole or like a trough. And that is
along, not to be like, shitty set... about it.
It's like, I don't know what else you would do.
Yeah. There's at least a corner.
Yeah.
But the pictures are really cool because it shows the whole, well, not the whole process, but it shows... There's, like, pictures of him alive when she was there the first time, and then, you know, him helping his sons build the chair, and picture of his smokehouse after he got done building it, and then there's the pictures of him over the fire on the scaffold, and pictures of his sons, like, tending the fire while he's over it, and then maybe, like, his wife or sister or someone holding his hand while he's over the fire, and then it shows, like, afterwards they put, like, a red clay over the skin because it protects, like, preserves it a little bit longer, too, and then they take the whole body and chair scaffold all out, and then they have, like, little rock faces around the village where they go because they're literally protecting, like, their spirit is protecting the village. And the face is the most important part. They don't have photographs. So the face is the important part to keep. And that's how the spirit, like, it protects the village during the day and then it goes back to its body at night. And that's, like, it, the face has to be preserved so it knows, like, where to go back to.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, I'm in my grandpa.
Yeah. And they'll take them down for, like, they'll bring their family members back to the village for special occasions or whatever. Or they're different. The tribe itself is about 45,000 people, which is the size of Manhattan, let's remember.
It's fucking crazy.
But they have, like, little individual villages and stuff. I'm sure it's kind of like a family-based community system, I think. If it's anything like the Four Tribe was, which we talked about. And apparently, you can be taken to go see the mummies, but they charge you about $20, and if you want to take pictures of them, they charge you $150. So...
That makes sense.
All I'm saying is you should be getting a job as a Nat Geo photographer.
I'm trying.
And we step up this game into something more than a podcast.
Exactly.
Like, let's do something crazy. You want to wrap this up?
Boo.
With Lennon's mummy?
Yeah.
The Lennon? Not John, the other one.
I was gonna say, you mean like the Beatles guy?
No, the Russian one.
Oh. Is that... No, I'm thinking of Rasputin. Or, let's talk about Lennon. I know they named a city after different. Him.
Leningrad?
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, Lemongrad?
Lemongrab? That Adventure Time Lemon?
I hate those episodes.
I love them. I love Lemon Grab. I hate Lemon Tree Grab. Trunks.
I hate Lemon Grab.
Tree Trunks makes me want to, like take out my own tongue and shove it in my ears.
Lemon Grab gives me anxiety because of his voice. No, I can't.
I love it.
Oh, it's
awful. He's just, like, the embodiment of anxiety.
That's probably why I hate it. Because I got enough of that shit on my plate already.
No, like, whenever I'm like, my life sucks, I'm like, oh, at least I'm not a fucking this guy. Or, like, the banana guards are, like, me when I'm at my very worst. And Lemon Grab is, like, the steps to being a banana guard, you know?
But the banana guards are so dumb.
They are dumb. I'm dumb sometimes. That's how I know I'm at my worst.
Oh, boy. Lenin's mausoleum is in Red Square, which is in Moscow, in case that needs to be clarified.
They probably, yeah.
It's been there mostly since his death in 1924. He just underwent some crazy intense embalming, I'm pretty sure. And he's preserved and on display in a glass case of emotion. I put that in parentheses in my notes.
I'm in a glass cage of emotion.
The mausoleum was designed to mimic ancient tombs, like the Step Pyramid, for example. In 1941, I thought this was fun. In 1941, his body was exaggerated. No, it wasn't. His body was evacuated.
Okay, I was going to say exonerated, and I was like, that's the wrong word, too. How many not the right words can we use?
His body was evacuated to Siberia when it was feared that German troops were going to take over Moscow during the war. But he was returned to his tomb when the war was over. And for a little while, Stalin's body hung out with Lenin's body for a while after his death in 1953. And it stayed there until 1961 when it was moved to the Kremlin Wall Necropolis, which I don't know what that is, but I'm going to figure it out because it sounds cool as shit.
It does sound really cool.
And then that was a part of the de-Stalinization efforts. Which are real things that happened.
I mean, I guess that makes sense.
People were just like, let's forget this guy ever happened.
Yeah, this guy might have been a little bit too much for us.
The government paid for Lenin's preservation until the fall of the Soviet Union in 1991, which I always forget that that happened in 1991. I always forget that I was alive when the Soviet Union still existed.
That's wild.
I know.
Actually, yeah.
Like, you just think of it as something that was a while ago.
Just like a
I was alive when the Soviet Union still existed. That doesn't make Which sense. I know that I knew that. I just forget it.
Yeah.
You know? And then after that it was all private donations because they were like, no, this is not a government thing. Mm-hmm. But in 2016 the Russian government said that they were planning 13 million rubles to go towards further preservation.
This, like, Russian currency doesn't sound real. It really doesn't. I think it's partially that it sounds like rupees, but it's, like, the, like, absurd quantities. Like, a loaf of bread is, like, fucking 400 rubles.
Yep.
And I'm like, I don't know what that means. Get your monopoly.
It's like saying this loaf of bread is 400 pennies when you're like, why not just say it's $4?
Exactly, yeah.
So Boris Yeltsin wanted to close the tomb and move Lenin's body to St. Petersburg, where his mother is buried, but good old Putin was like, no, that would imply that generations of people have been observing false values for this whole time, which, like, he has fucking room to talk.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, this is, when I first read this, I just pictured, because, okay, the tomb is open to the public, and it's free. You're not allowed to smoke in there. You have to go through a security check to get in.
Makes sense.
Allowed to have your hands in your pockets. Men aren't allowed to be wearing hats, but it's okay for women too. You're not allowed to talk in there, and you're not allowed to take photos. So I pictured that Putin and Trump just stand over Lenin's preserved body together holding hands.
Yeah, 100%.
Not saying anything to each other, just, like, sharing this moment of true love.
They're doing that thing where you, like, you're holding hands and you just, like, play with each other's fingers, you know? Like, just, like, swinging arms a little bit.
That's...
so cute.
That's how I'm wrapping up Mommy Talk.
Any of my artist friends, I need you to draw this. I might commission this, actually, like, really soon.
Trump and Putin holding hands inside Lenin's mausoleum over his body.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's great.
Adorable.
I tried really hard, but I can't think of any good mummies in pop culture except Bubba Hotep.
Or Scooby-Doo Ghoul School. Oh, there's God. The mummy is so cute. She's so little. She's adorable. Okay, other pop culture mummies.
There is an episode of Doctor Who on the train. Orient Express one, which is kind of a mummy.
Kind of, yeah.
I mean, it's supposed to look like a mummy.
Oh.
Which I actually really liked the episode.
Halloween just happened. Technically,
Halloween,
a little bit. Yeah. Rocky and Rocky Horror Picture Show is a mummy. Kind of.
I mean, they do, like, unwrap him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
I mean, obviously the mummy, but, like, we don't care about the mummy.
Yeah, we only care about Brendan
Fraser.
That's it.
And Rebecca. Rachel Weisz. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Rachel Weisz.
What else? I just think, in Overwatch right now, the Halloween skin for Anna.
Nope.
So Anna's an Egyptian, lady, an Egyptian mom.
Sure.
And she has a pharaoh skin, which is, like, her as a mummy that's, like, half unwrapped. It's pretty sick. It's, like, one of my top, probably, 10 skins in the game.
There's Tina Belcher's mommy mummy.
That's true, yeah. Did you watch the Halloween episode yet?
No, I've heard it's terrible.
Okay, it's not as good as the one last year, but, oh, fuck. What was Louisa's costume? It was really good again. It wasn't as good as the dragon with a girl tattoo, but it was still, like, yeah, pretty good, and I was like, oh, love it.
I think that my favorite Halloween episode so far is... I think it has to be the one where they make the haunted house, and they... Because, mm-hmm, like, Louise can't be scared, and then they...
Yeah.
Make it terrible on purpose, and then, yeah. I like that episode.
What other things? Maybe we should have thought about this before. What other... Everybody, if you have a favorite pop culture mummy... I legit Googled
pop culture mummies while I was at work today and didn't find anything worthwhile.
This is a zombie, but, like, in Michael Jackson's Thriller, like, technically he's, like, yeah, like, a mummy. Zombies are, like, close enough.
No.
No? Okay. No.
Zombies are zombies.
Yeah, if anyone has a favorite mummy or just a mummy period that we can't think of because we're dumb people, just let us know. Just hit us up on a social media and just say, hey, BTFB, you forgot this.
You idiots.
And we'll say, you're right. Because you are.
Bubba Hotep was legit the only one I could think of that was an actual pop culture mummy.
I just, like, can't...
Shout out to Bruce Campbell.
Bruce Campbell, such a gem.
When he thinks he's Elvis in that movie,
he is iconic.
With wheelchair-bound black JFK. Wait, mm-hmm. Is it JFK that he thinks he is?
I think it is, yeah. I think. What other... Apparently zombies don't exist in media, because I cannot think of a single... Wait, wasn't Gus in Psych a vampire? Like, wasn't he Dracula? In one...
What?
This was from, like... Whenever, like, that was, like, 2 weeks ago. In Psych, wasn't Gus a vampire once?
I have no idea.
That's a Stu question. Yeah. Damn it. Okay. I think that might be it for today, then.
What a disappointing end. That's appropriate.
Yeah, honestly. We're not finished.
You're tuned in to Broadcast from the Belfry, the most disappointing podcast for the morbidly curious.
Thank you for listening, guys. Like I said, if you can think of any... Literally any mummies that aren't in Scooby-Doo Ghoul School.
Oh my god.
Feel free to contact us via social media. You can hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram by searching Broadcast from the Belfry, or by emailing us at broadcastfromthebelfry@gmail.com. If you liked what you heard today or hated it, but still want to help us out, you can give us a like and a subscribe. We are available anywhere you can listen to podcasts. Just search that Broadcast from the Belfry in the search bar or search icon thing. I don't know what iPhones have. I think they still have search bars.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Technology's changing. And I think those are the things that I normally say. Georgia, what do you say sometimes?
Bleh.
I have heard her say that several times this week alone. Yeah.
I just want to sound like the mummy in Scooby-Doo.
Werewolf and bar mitzvah.
Spooky, I say...
scary.
I say... Thanks for listening, and stay spooky.
Mummies. Sluts.
Mummy sluts.
Yeah, mummy sluts. Slummies. That sounds not
slutty
great.
Mummies.
Yeah.
Slut mums.
Slut mums. Yeah.